Governor Kristi Noem was in Watertown Tuesday to talk about job development. While she was there, she announced the reopening of the state's Emergency Command Center in anticipation of Winter Storm Wesley. And Senator John Thune is working to battle those annoying robocalls that come to your cell phone. The Dakota Political Junkies are here to expand on these issues. And first, we welcome Roger Whittle. He is managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Hi, Roger. Welcome.
Thank you. This isn't a robocall, is it?
It is not a robocall.
Ooh, thanks.
Do you get those?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Before we get to that, let's talk about news from Watertown, because the governor was in town and a lot was happening there. You were at that event. Give us an idea of why she came to Watertown.
I was. Every year, Lake Area Technical Institute's foundation hosts a governor's luncheon, which they use as a fundraiser to raise money for their scholarship program. And they've been doing this for 17 years in a row, and every year the governor comes and gives a talk. And we had a full house at LATI this time for it, because, of course, this is in Kristi Noem's backyard. So she was among friends, and she gave an excellent speech on what her plans are to kind of continue with what Governor Dugard did to promote technical education in South Dakota and workforce development. She said she would try to increase or at least maintain funding to the Build Dakota scholarships that help just so many people in South Dakota attend these four technical schools. And she also said she's going to expand a pilot program that they had in Pierre, where they try to hook up high school kids with skilled labor jobs during what's called a work week, where they students will leave school and go out into the workplaces to see what these jobs are like. So very good speech, very well attended and very well received.
Tell us a little bit more about Lake Area Technical Institute. What kind of programs does it offer? When we talk workforce development, what kind of workforce development are we speaking of?
LATI has a really broad category range of courses that they offer. Everything from nursing to precision farming. They train police officers and EMTs. They have a big, huge new robotics program that recently won a national award for being the best robotics program in the country. They have, even hairstyling they can do. And they're just opening a new multi-million-dollar health care facility where they will train healthcare workers. So the school has just been growing, but by leaps and bounds. I think President Mike Cartney said in his talk yesterday that they are right now at the level of students that was predicted for 2040 or something like that. So they keep growing, they keep building, and they just can't seem to keep up. But he was touting the average salary of their graduates, which 99% of their graduates are placed in jobs right away with an average salary of some ridiculous amount. It was, certainly more than you could get coming out as a journalism major. He said some of their jobs pay close to $60,000 a year for new grads.
Right.
It's really an important part of Watertown.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, and we're talking with Dakota Political Junkies. Roger Whittle is with us from the Watertown area, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. Also joining us from Madison, John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. Hey, John.
Hi, Lori.
We are talking about workforce development, and it's a part of this broader conversation, but Roger was telling us when Governor Noem came and spoke at the Lake Area Technical Institute Governor's Luncheon, she talked about kind of continuing the work that Governor Dugard did to lay the groundwork and then expanding it even further. And I'm wondering if we might start there with you as far as this is a conversation about workforce development. It's really a conversation about education and the economy and business in the state, so much more. What sort of groundwork do you think John Governor Dugard did that gives Governor Noem the opportunity to sort of stand on, a solid foundation for this initiative?
Well, I think your intro there, Lori, is perfect because it involves all those. It involves education, it involves the economy, it involves really the new economy, and it involves state facilitation of all those kinds of things. So what Governor Dugard did, I think, was at least break the ice on flexibility in the workforce. And it's not all college graduates. And I think there was a point at which we believe that to get a good job in South Dakota or in anywhere, you'd need a college degree. And as Roger was describing, a lot of these jobs that are trained in technical schools are terrific jobs also. So I think it kind of opened up a lot for South Dakotans. And the technical schools have also kind of long been leaders in kind of non-workday kind of education. So in other words, not classes, full-time, 9-to-5 kind of thing, but nights and weekends and online and all those kinds of things too. So the universities have also gotten into this as well and getting involved with new occupations and so on. Healthcare is obviously a huge expanding area in South Dakota. Madison, of course, at Dakota State, cybersecurity is a huge demand regionally, nationally, even, but locally as well. So I think it's great things are going on that Governor Dugard started and that Governor Noem will continue.
And one of my questions that I've asked a few times in interviews about technical education in places like Lake Area, Roger, has been, you know, in fields when you train people, and the same would go for cybersecurity and journalism for that matter. But as we look in one of the ways the world has changed is how quickly everything changes and how quickly your job can change. And I was asking some of these, you know, kids who come out with a technical certification or technical training, 5 years from now, that job might have shifted significantly. What are we doing to get, you know, people continuing education and that? Roger, is that part of the conversation, you know, around Lake Area is not just build a Dakota scholarship and getting, you know, 17 and 18-year-olds where they might want to be, but looking at how we keep people's skills in South Dakota up to par so as industry changes quickly, there's a way to keep pace with it. Any thoughts on that, Roger?
Well, certainly. That's kind of a central part of LATI's whole plan. They work closely with area companies and businesses. Companies will come to LATI and say, this is what's next. We need, you know, we're going to switch to this technology, so we need people versed in that. And then LATI, these technical schools are much nimbler than a four-year university. They can, you know, immediately start a class in teaching this technology. So their two-year courses usually. So the workforce is there when the technology happens in a lot of places for these companies, which is it's really remarkable to think about it.
John, do you think that will be part of the four-year education conversation as well? You could start studying cybersecurity as a freshman, and by the time you're a senior, that landscape could have shifted dramatically already.
You're right, but I'm going to shift the conversation, and I think there's a role for K-12 in some of this flexibility job market that's going on. And I think some of the high schools are realizing that they need to help students become flexible or to change their to develop communication skills or job hunting skills and all those kinds of things as well. So I think there was a long time that K-12 in South Dakota was kind of college preparatory. I mean, that was kind of an idea. And I think they're preparing students for all sorts of possibilities. And again, they may not be the same jobs that you imagine as a junior in high school. But so in answer to your question, though, I think the four-year institutions are also trying to understand that better and adapt more quickly. The regents have set up programs that can change more quickly than they used to with the long, laborious process of setting up new majors and so forth. So I think everyone's learning to adapt.
And in the interest of time, let's talk a little bit about something else that Governor Noem, you know, was asked about or spoke about in Watertown, which is just this upcoming storm, which, Roger, you might be sort of buried in it right now. What's the snow look like there in Watertown currently?
It started snowing heavy before 7 o'clock this morning and has been going continuously. In fact, I just stuck my head out the door before coming on the show, and my car is almost completely buried at this point. There might be 8 inches of new snow just in the last couple hours out there. And our National Weather Service that we spoke to this morning said our final total could be in excess of 2 feet from the snow.
Yeah, measuring it in feet, not inches.
Right.
Governor Noem, of course, has dealt, you know, fairly early in her administration with the spring flooding and storms and disaster and documenting for, you know, federal funding for disasters. Did she speak any about that, Roger, as far as how that process has been and if the state feels like they are on top of it?
She did talk a little bit about flooding, but was mainly complimenting the city of Watertown for their flood relief efforts that we put out before this storm happened. Mm-hmm. She was saying that they were 24 hours a day in the flood center and pier, keeping tabs on everybody, taking everything pretty seriously. But she said Watertown was never a city that they didn't have to worry about because our mayor is a former engineer who is well-versed in floodplain happening. So Watertown was prepared, and she said the rest of the state, the state was there, ready to help them whenever they needed it.
John Hunter, should we transition to the flood of robocalls that are coming to our cell phones right now and how we can engineer our way out of that possible congressional solutions? Where do you want to start there?
It's also a complicated issue, and I'm glad South Dakota Senator John Thune is chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee is involved in this. It is a tricky situation because technology can sometimes leapfrog whatever regulations are put in place. As you know, some of these robocalls are getting more sophisticated, stealing numbers and pretending they're someone else. I even had one that said the City of Madison Police Department, and which is obviously a call that you'd want to accept right away. And I don't know how regulation is going to be able to keep up with the scamming technology of that. That's I wish them the best.
Roger, are we throwing up our hands and saying good luck with that, Congress? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think they're going to do that. I think Congress, I think John Thune is serious about wanting to do something. But John is right. I mean, the people on the other side of the law seem to be quicker at getting around things than the people on this side of the law are at stopping them. And I think it's always been that way, and it probably always will be.
How is it affecting us? Because I know I got an email earlier today during the show with someone saying, I've tried to call you 3 times, call me. And, you know, with spam emails and robocalls, it's affecting our communication because you don't necessarily know, who you're dealing with and whether you should call or answer every phone. Is it affecting you at all, Roger?
Well, I think it's affecting everybody. You just can never be sure anymore. So I've even stopped accepting calls from my mother. So. it might not be her. You never know. But, you know, it's difficult. So I think a lot of people now are just letting it go to voicemail. And if it's somebody that they really need to talk to, they'll just delay them a few seconds so we can listen to a voicemail and then return the call. But otherwise, yeah, I think most people's cell phones now, if they don't recognize the number, or sometimes even if they do, they just let it go to voicemail before they deal with it, which is sad that we have to do that.
Yeah, I think there's some wide-ranging impact there as well. John, thoughts on, we were talking about Senator Thune. Let's talk about Senator Rounds and a little bit of his experience with flood control and some of the things that he's saying need to be focused on as we look at how the public and citizens of South Dakota residents are impacted by flooding in the state.
Well, first of all, for the record, if my mom calls me, I always answer.
Mine too.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to let
I'm
counsel
a bad man.
Roger a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, we're better children.
Lori and I will help you, Roger. Senator Rounds certainly had experience with previous floods in South Dakota, his role as governor. And so I think he has probably more connections and so on with the Army Corps of Engineers, which plays a pretty substantial role in kind of Missouri River flooding, at least. there's some and some tributaries, but a lot of South Dakota flooding this year is not necessarily from heavy snowpack in Montana that's now getting to us, but snow in South Dakota. And so, yeah, I think he's well qualified to do that. Now, whether you can get, you can make from a seat in Congress, how that can go, I don't know. I think Governor Noem is also, you know, has experience in both Congress and in the governor's chair now. So we do have, hopefully they'll communicate with each other and coordinate things as would best serve South Dakota.
All right, Roger, anything else as we are hunkered down under inches and inches and possibly feet of snow in Watertown you want to make sure to cover today?
If anyone is close by with a shovel, I'll be leaving work in a couple hours. Come and help me dig out.
All right. It could be your mother if you're not.
Well, she probably doesn't answer my calls now either, so we're even.
John Hunter, what's the weather like in Madison? Same sort of situation there?
Well, the lightning strike took out our phone system today at the newspaper, so we're all calling. Fortunately, cell towers are still working, so we're working with that today. Appears to be worse the farther north you go. I was in Brookings very early this morning, and they've got some of what Roger has, not as much. And at the moment, I'm in Sioux Falls, and it's much better here. So farther north you go, the worse it gets.
John Hunter, you don't need to use your phone in Sioux Falls. You can stop by the SDPB Sioux Falls studio.
I intend to do that.
All right. John Hunter and Roger Whittle, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Lori.